Happy Easter. Welcome to Saints Church Podcast. The whole Saints family was together at Saints Church Glastonbury to celebrate Good Friday. This is that message coming to you live from Saints Church Glastonbury. Let's jump right in.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Saints Church. My name is Sebastian. I'm one of the pastors here. I love when we get to do an all-together service. I love seeing all of our Glory Hills family here and our Highlands family and our Glastonbury family. It's great to be together with family, isn't it? Come on. It's always so nice to come together and to see just the greater church together. So everything that I was going to say has already been said this morning, so I can pretty much just get off. We're pretty much done. My verse was used, and the prophetic word said everything I was going to say. So I'm just going to repeat it again, because obviously God has something he wants to say to us today. But if you have your Bible, would you turn with me to Isaiah 53, verses 3 to 7? I'm not reading it out of a kid's Bible today, but I think the more translations, the better, because it's something for us to understand. I think on Good Friday, it's always this weird in-between because we kind of just want to get to Easter, right? Like, Easter's like the celebrating, like the good times. But I think it's really important that we sometimes sit in Good Friday and we think about what the cost is of our freedom. Isaiah 53, 3 to 7. It says, "He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised, and we did not care. Yet it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion. He was crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, every single one, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth." As I've been reflecting about Good Friday, I do always just have the tendency that I want to jump to, like, Easter. I want to get to the good part, right? I want to get to the resurrection, the celebration, the defeating of the darkness. I'm going to steal all the stuff from Sunday, too. The defeating of the darkness, the defeating of sin and shame and everything that encompasses that. But I think it's so important that we sometimes sit in this moment. We sit in the moment where we reflect on what Jesus did and what God did. The other day, Haley was reading a book. Haley, my wife, was reading a book, and she was like halfway through the book, and she said, I just really want to skip to the last page and see what happens. And I think that's what we do with Easter, right? We just want to skip to the last page. We want to skip to Easter and just what happens. You know, we all know what happens. But I think today it's important for us to read the rest of the book, to go through the rest of the story, to understand why the end of the book was so good. Because if we don't understand the context of the book, if we don't understand the tension and the drama that unfolds before the end of the book, before the solution, before the protagonist wins and conquers the day, if we don't understand that, we won't understand actually how amazing the end of the book is. We had family supper all the time growing up, and we would sit around the table, and my other siblings weren't nearly as talkative as me, or maybe just people asked me more questions. I don't really know. But I remember when we were really young, my dad had a few questions that he would ask at supper time. He would say, "What was the best thing that happened today? What was the worst thing that happened today? And what's something that you ate today?" And, like, those are some good questions that you can ask if you want to get some family discussion started. So, you know, my brother would say his answer, my sister would say her answer, and then I would talk for the whole rest of dinner. And so if you ever have food with me and I talk while I'm chewing, I'm sorry, it's my parents' fault. But one of the things that we kind of discovered is that there were some people in our family, they just wanted to skip to the end. Like, if you talk to my mom, she just, I want to tell a half an hour long story. And she just says, okay, but what's the point? Tell me the point of the story, and then we can go back and we can rehash the whole thing. We can look at all the details, but what is the point of the story? Where are you going with this thing? So today we're going to go on a little journey. Sorry. You know what the end of the story is. Why did Jesus have to come to earth? Well, God has always had a plan for redemption. He's always had a plan to bring us into proper relationship with himself. The cross, it wasn't a last-ditch effort. It wasn't a hope and a wish. It wasn't just an attempt, oh, maybe this thing will work. The cross wasn't any of those things. The cross was God's perfect plan from the beginning. Let's go through the story. Let's build some of this tension. In the garden, we find Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve had a face-to-face relationship with God. They walked with God. The Bible says Adam walked with God in the cool of the day. They spoke to one another. And God had one rule: don't eat from the tree. Don't eat from the tree. And of course, we know what happened. Adam and Eve, they were tempted and they failed and they ate from the tree. Romans 5:12 says, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. Sin entered the world. At this moment, when Adam and Eve ate of the fruit and they turned their eyes away from God and they turned their eyes on their own desires, there was separation that was brought. And that separation was brought for all of time. When sin entered the world, it spread and death spread to everyone. Now, you could read that. You could say, well, why did God put the tree in the garden? Why, you know, was God surprised by this result of events? Did God know that this was going to happen? Well, he's God, so yeah, he did know what was going to happen. And I can't answer necessarily all of those questions. But I think the amazing thing is that God immediately had a plan. When Adam and Eve come to God and God is like, did you eat the fruit? And they're like, yeah, we did. God gave them their consequences. But at the same time as giving their consequences, we get a little glimpse of the future that God was going to bring. Genesis 3:15 says, and I will cause hostility between you, that is the serpent, and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He, the seed of the woman, which was Jesus, will strike your head, the serpent's head, and you will strike his heel. What this is saying is that, like, literally moments after Eve ate the fruit and Adam ate the fruit, moments after they're being given their consequences, they're being sent out from the Garden of Eden, God says that the seed of the woman doesn't have a seed. The seed of the woman, the only woman that ever gave birth, was Mary. The seed of the woman was Jesus. He will strike the head of the serpent. See, God always had it in his mind that Jesus was going to come and he was going to make a way for us. Now, it's easy to read this story and say, well, you know what? It's not fair. Adam sinned, and I'm being held liable for Adam's mistakes. Well, partially, but also you've sinned. I've sinned. We've all sinned. And when we sinned, we became a part of the problem as well. We made the choice, the same choice that Adam made that day when he ate of that fruit. We have all sinned. Romans 3:23 says, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. And Isaiah 53:6, that was what I was reading at the start, says, all of us, like sheep, have strayed away. There's not one that hasn't. We have left God's path to follow our own. Everyone sinned. And the moment that we sinned for the first time in our life, we made the same choice Adam made when he ate that fruit. And every time we sin again, we are making that same decision again. So fast forward a little bit. Adam and Eve are out of the garden. We come upon a guy named Noah. You know, earth's not doing so well. God says, it's time to restart. He gives a covenant to Noah. He says, I will never do this again. I will never destroy the earth again. And there's the rainbow, and we see the rainbow every single time it rains. And then we fast forward a little bit further, and we see Abraham. And he gives a promise to Abraham, and he says, I will make a great nation out of you. I will bless your descendants. And the descendants were the Israelites. And then we fast forward a little bit longer, and we see these Israelites, and we see God's chosen people. You know, Adam and Eve, they were God's chosen people. And we see the Israelites, God's chosen people. We see all of these people making bad choice after bad choice. It seems like no matter that God chose them or not, they were still making bad decisions. And so we get to the book of Leviticus and the law of Moses. And God saw, you know, there's no way for me and these people to have a relationship together. They just keep on sinning. There needs to be a way for us to have a relationship. There needs to be a way for their sins to be atoned for. And so we see the law of Moses in Leviticus. In Leviticus 5, 14 to 15 says, Then the Lord said to Moses, If one of you commits a sin by unintentionally defiling the Lord's sacred property, you must bring a guilt offering to the Lord. The offering must be your own ram with no defects. Now, you can read all through Leviticus, the book of law. And God made a way through animal sacrifice for us to have a little bit, you know, to sort of bridge that gap. But it wasn't a perfect system. But the sacrificial system that was brought about by God in Leviticus, it was his way to bring some restitution to our broken relationship with him. Humanity could never find a way to restore the relationship with God. It was only possible by God making a way that we could still be in relationship with him. Instead of just abandoning the Israelites, like I'm sure he wanted to, and he actually said that he did want to a few times in the Bible, to their selfish desires, he made a way for them. Leviticus 1:4 says, Lay your hand on the animal's head, and the Lord will accept its death in your place to purify you, making you right with him. You see, it wasn't the value of the sacrifice. It wasn't that it was like a really good goat or a really good lamb. Now, it had to be a really good goat or a really good lamb to be able to give it as a sacrifice. But it wasn't the worth of the goat or the lamb that made it atone for our sins. It wasn't because of the good works that people had done. It wasn't because they raised enough lambs or sheep that it atoned for our sins. The reason why the animals were able to atone for our sins was because the Lord chose to accept that on our behalf. It wasn't because something we did. It was because of something that he did. He made a way for us to come into closer relationship with him. Way back in Leviticus. This is before the New Testament. Hebrews 9:22 says, In fact, according to the law of Moses, nearly everything was purified with blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. You see, these sacrifices were a means for God to say, hey, okay, let's try something new. Let's try this thing where you can bring a sacrifice to me and we'll wash you of your sin and your guilt and we'll be purified and we'll be clean. And it still didn't work. Because we are humans. The Israelites are humans. And they kept on failing and they kept on stumbling. And we read through the Bible about king after king and judge after judge and prophet after prophet. And it didn't matter who was there because there were still humans involved in the story. There was never enough sheep, goats, birds, and other sacrifices for all of the ways the Israelites failed. And we see them stumble through this tragedy after tragedy. They're brought into the promised land and then they're taken into captivity into Babylon, and they're taken into all sorts of captivity, and all of the tribes are separated. And there's brokenness. And there's a separation from God. And then we come to the end of the prophets. We come to the gap between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and there's 400 years in between the last book of the Bible in the Old Testament and the New Testament. 400 years. And there's 400 years of silence. There's 400 years of what people would have probably thought was complete separation from God. God, are you there? God, you promised all of these things through your prophets, through Isaiah. You promised all of these things. You made a covenant with us. I still see the rainbow, but God, where are you? There was a silence. There had been prophecies that hadn't been fulfilled. There were things that were supposed to happen, but the people heard nothing. I can only imagine being someone living in those 400 years wondering, did we push God too far? Is he just done with us? It seems like all of his plans, we just couldn't get it right. Maybe he's just abandoned us. Maybe he's gone. Maybe he's like the gods of Baal that we haven't called loud enough. But God had not forgotten. God had not forgotten about his people. He had not grown tired of them. He was waiting for the right time to put his good plan into place. And so we know the story. They were all expecting a great king, someone to come and rescue them, to save them from their oppressors, to save them from themselves. And instead, God sends a little baby. He sends a little baby born in a manger, who's raised up in no palace, in no kingdom. He's nothing special. And we see this Jesus. We see him serving. We see him washing his disciples' feet. We see him gathering the children unto himself. And the people must have thought, 400 years and this is what we're getting? 400 years and this is what God came up with? He couldn't have had a better plan? He couldn't have had better timing? Jesus didn't create an uprising. And he didn't remove the law of Moses. But the Bible says he came to fulfill the law. So all of this history, all of this Bible, all of this story, this tension, it leads us to today. It leads us to Good Friday, where Jesus, the blameless Son of God, came for us. Now, it's easy to read through the Bible and to see Israel as this far-off thing, but the reality is that Israel's history is our history. Israel is in the Bible to represent us. They are who we look to. They are where we came from. They represent us, and they represent how we live. They represent how sometimes we treat our relationship with God. Having two kids is amazing. But one of the things that's both amazing and terrible about having kids is when you look at your kids, you see yourself. And the amazing thing is, like, the things that you love about yourself, you're like, yeah, that's awesome. But the things you don't like about yourself, you really see those things too. And you come face to face with your own humanity. You come face to face with your own issues. And you're like, how do I parent this thing that I don't even know how to overcome? When we look at the Bible, when we look at the Israelites, we're looking at ourselves. It's a mirror of who we are. Their failures are failure. So maybe you're here today. Maybe you've heard all of this before. Maybe you felt like at one point in your life, you felt like you were like Adam and Eve. It felt like your relationship with God was so good, like you were walking through the garden with God. There was a closeness there. But maybe like Adam and Eve, you feel like you turned away and there's a separation. Maybe you're here today and you're kind of like the Israelites. You're trying to please God with sacrifices. You're trying to bring your good gifts. You're trying to bring the things, the best things that you have. You're trying to bring your good works to him and say, God, now am I worthy? Maybe you can just slip into heaven by doing enough good things, by bringing enough good sacrifices to God. Or maybe you're here today and you're like those Israelites in that 400 years of silence, where at one time you heard God and there's promises that you thought were over your life, but God, where are you? God, I'm calling for you. God, are you still there? Maybe you're here right now and you're in the moment of a silence and you wonder, did I do something wrong that God abandoned me? But the message of Good Friday, the message of the gospel, is that Jesus came to earth and he lived as a perfect example of what God intended for his people. And while he lived, we mocked him. We despised him. We turned our backs on him. And we didn't just do it in the past. We do it today. I wake up every morning and I turn my back on him. And that day, on Good Friday, the only blameless and perfect man to ever live, God himself, was led to die on a cross. Without an uprising, without his friends standing up for him, silently he allowed them and us to nail him to the cross. Isaiah 53:7, he was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep is silent before the shears, he did not open his mouth. He didn't defend himself to the priests. He didn't defend himself to Pilate. He didn't defend himself to us. He made himself a willing sacrifice, laying down his life for ours. So why did Jesus have to come and lay his life down? He came and he laid his life down as a sacrifice. He came and laid his life down as the lamb, the only lamb that could purify us for all of time, for all of sin, past, present, and future. God came because he knew that we needed him. He knew that the chasm was far too wide, that every single time I try and reach God, I can't do it. I can't do it alone. You can't do it alone. He knew the only way for us to be in relationship with him was for him to reach down and to pull us up. Philippians 2:6, probably my favorite verse in the Bible. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. It wasn't taken away. It wasn't forced out of his hands. He gave it up. And he took the humble position of a slave. Once again, he wasn't forced to be a slave. He took it. And he was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself. He laid his own life down. He humbled himself in obedience to the Father and died a criminal's death on a cross. While we were still far off, while we rejected him and we turned our backs on him, he made a way for restitution for us. While we spat on him and we mocked him, he reached his hand down and he said, I'm here waiting for you. Isaiah 53:4, it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down, and we thought his trouble was a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so that we could be healed. And because of his experience, Jesus' experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous, for he will bear all of their sins. Today, no matter where you are in your walk with God, maybe you feel like you've turned away from God, or maybe you feel like God has turned away from you. Maybe you feel like there's a moment of silence in your life right now where you can't hear God. Maybe you feel like maybe I've done too much to push him away. Or maybe you just don't think about him at all. No matter where you are, I want to remind you today that God paid the highest price, and he paid it for you, and he paid it for me. He paid it because he wanted to be in perfect relationship with us. And the only way to be in perfect relationship with God was through his son, Jesus Christ, and the blood that he shed on the cross for us. Colossians 1, 19-22 says, for God, in all of his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you and me who were once far away from God. We were his enemies, separated from him by our evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled us to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence. And you today are holy and blameless as you stand before him, without a single fault. See, when God looks at you and he looks at me, if we've accepted Jesus into our heart, he sees only his son. He sees only the sacrifice that he already paid for you. So you might be trying and striving and trying to gain God's attention, but it's not about gaining God's attention. The Bible says it's only through faith in Jesus Christ that we are saved. It's not by our works. It's not by the good things or the bad things that we've done. It's not by any of those things. It's only through faith in Jesus Christ. And there's a temptation on Good Friday to say, look at all the things that Jesus did. Now you go and do the same things that Jesus did. And yes, that is part of the message of the gospel, that we look like Jesus. But that's not what the focus of today is. The focus of today is, even if you never turn towards Jesus, even if you never decide to accept him as your Lord and Savior, he still came and died for you, and he cares for you, and he paid the price for you. And so what that means is, even all of the things that happen in your life, no matter how far you turn away from him, he's still calling out. He's saying, my son, my daughter, reach up. I have come all the way down. All you need to do is reach up and take my hand. I've already paid the price. See, the danger of skipping to the end, the danger of skipping to Easter Sunday, is that we can so easily forget the cost that was paid for us. We can so easily forget that God values your life, that he values my life, and that he values the life of all of those around us in the world. It's not just a celebration that God was raised from the dead, that Jesus was raised from the dead and that he conquered death and sin, but he actually suffered for us. He was whipped and he was beaten and he was bruised for me and for you and for the world that's outside. If we skip over this part, we forget that we were paid with a high price, that your life is valuable and that you are valuable and that God wants to have a relationship with you. We have all turned away. We have all gone our own way. But God in his foreknowledge knew that we were prone to wander. And so for our sake, he sent a sacrifice to atone for our failures, past, present, and future. Good Friday is a day for us to contemplate the sacrifices that God made for us, that Jesus made for us. It's a day for us to contemplate the price that was paid for our freedom. We have a good and a gracious God. And he made a way for us when there was no way. But while we were still far off, he called us unto himself. 1 Peter 2, 21-25. For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example, and you must follow in his steps. He never sinned nor ever deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross, so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. Come on, by his wounds we are healed. Once you were like sheep who wandered away. But now, because of Jesus, because of the option that he gave us, because he reached his hand down, we can turn to our shepherd, the guardians of our souls.
Thanks for celebrating with us. This has been our Good Friday service from St. Church Glastonbury. It was an all-in service. People from every one of our locations, from St. Church Glastonbury, Glory Hills, and Highlands, all together under one roof. Once again, my name is Brett. I'm the senior pastor. We'd love to see you live and in person at any one of our locations. You can find more information at saintschurch.ca.